From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, on this February 6, 2014. Hope you all are having a fantastic start to your Thursday afternoon. We have a jam-packed show for you, as always. And folks, breaking news, this just came through. There's just some bad basketball playing being played right now in the NBA, folks. I don't know if you guys watched, I'm pretty sure many of you didn't watch this, but the Lakers and Cavaliers last night. The lowly Lakers, who really have nobody on that team, playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers got beat by the Lakers. Really a surprising loss against the Laker team. Again, they are just really depleted right now. The loss for the Cavaliers was so bad that it just has come through that the Cleveland Cavaliers have fired their general manager, Chris Grant. He has not been great since he's taken over the Cavaliers, and it's the whole franchise in general has really taken a hit since LeBron left. There's been a few players who have really tried to revive the program, but overall, the Cleveland Cavaliers are just a bad team, and it really culminated yesterday, again, a loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. But there's just so many teams out there that are just so bad. If you look at the Eastern Conference, the Detroit Pistons, they just get just killed by the Orlando Magic last night. Oh, terrible game there. We'll talk about that, but it's just hard to watch sometimes. And I'm an NBA fan, and it hurts me to have to witness some of that. But again, we'll be diving into that. And also, Michigan, many mid-Michigan players, I should say, football players, and from many sports, signed their national letters of intent yesterday, as it was National Signing Day, as many high school players signed the letters and, claimed on which schools they will be attending at the college athletic level. And you know what? To kick off our current sports quick hit headliners, I want to welcome one of the students who do a fantastic job in helping out current sports. Craig, how you doing, brother? You all right?
Yeah, I'm great.
Well, first of all, Craig, just go down the list of names that have signed their national letters of intent in the game of football and where they will be heading.
All right, got a list of a couple local kids here. I got Cameron West from DeWitt is going to Northern Michigan. Logan Hesbrook from Ithaca is going to Saginaw Valley State. Lucas Barner from Everett is going to Siena Heights. Manny Kirkland from Waverly is going to Michigan Tech. Matthew Ellington from East Lansing is going to Siena Heights. Peter Atkins from Lansing Catholic is going to Northwood. Timmy Kane from Holt is going to Adrian. Travis Smith from Ithaca is going to Wake Forest. Christopher Bukowski from DeWitt is going to Eastern Michigan. Colin Prominski from Ionia is going to Olivet Nazarene in Illinois. Curtis Doyle from Alma is going to Western Michigan. Dakota Lawhon from Holt is going to Abilene Christian. David Paulgen from Lansing Catholic is going to Hillsdale. Devontae Haynes from East Lansing is going to Siena Heights. And Devin Manson from Waverly is going to Wayne State. Hunter Scott from Portland is going to Northwood. Joe Reverman from Grand Ledge is going to Hillsdale. Josh Hafner from Ithaca is going to Northern Michigan.
These names can get you, man.
Yep. Kaylin Williams from Everett is going to Siena Heights. A lot of Siena Heights on this list.
Yeah.
Kiefer Johnson from Grand Ledge is going to Yale. Kevin Kirkland from Waverly is going to Michigan Tech. Zach Peterson, no relation, from Holt, he's going to Alma. And last, Zach Gustafson from Portland is going to Northwood.
Congratulations to all of those that have just been named and listed there. We'll be taking their talents to the next level. Thanks a lot, Craig, for listing all those names. It's always a great time on signing day, getting to see high school kids getting to fulfill that dream of playing on the next level. And of course, Michigan State's recruiting class, so highly touted this year. Actually, Yahoo Sports has Michigan State's, Yahoo Sports and Rivals has Michigan State's recruiting class ranked 21st in the nation. In just a moment, you will get to hear from head football coach Mark D'Antonio on his class and also on a few players. He talked about a few players who have not signed their national letters of intent just yet. One of those being Malik McDowell, who proclaimed yesterday morning that he would be attending Michigan State. Verbally, he did. Now, it was crazy because he held a whole press conference. His father was there. His father backed him up and supported his decision on coming to Michigan State. His mother was not there, however. And it's not clear. There's some speculation out there, you know, that we know his dad did sign a sheet of paper yesterday, and so did Malik. But there's speculation as to whether it was the actual letter of intent or was it just something else. So apparently it looks as though it wasn't, because his name was not on the full roster of those who had signed it for Michigan State's football team in the 2014 class. And we are still awaiting on whether or not Malik will sign. Now, D'Antonio addressed the issue of Malik and a few others that have not officially signed with Michigan State. And you will get to hear what he had to say in just a sec. So again, if you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything we talk about today, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We're opening up our phone lines throughout this entire show as we have much to talk about. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Craig. Well, let's get to our other quick hit headliners. Ohio State University, sticking with recruiting. Ohio State signed the best recruiting class in the Big Ten. Michigan signed the best player in Jabril Peppers, and Michigan State parlayed its conference championship and Rose Bowl victory into its best letter of intent signing day in 5 years. Now, the Buckeyes on Wednesday unveiled the third best recruiting class in the nation, with only Alabama and LSU ranked higher. Now, national champion Florida State, Stanford, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, they were among other programs that received very high marks. Now, to illustrate the gap between Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten, consider that the Buckeyes landed 8 of Rivals.com's top 100 players. The rest of the Big Ten combined to sign just 6. Wow, Ohio State really cleaned up in that department. Now, again, Rivals in Yahoo Sports has MSU's recruiting class ranked 21st in the nation. That's quite admirable as well. All right, MSU and Michigan State, Michigan State and Penn State, in case you forgot, amongst all the signing day action, there is also some basketball that will be played in East Lansing tonight. Now, the MSU men's basketball team takes on Penn State tonight at 9 p.m. at the Brez. The Spartans are currently tied with Michigan atop the Big Ten standings at an 8-1 mark. The Nittany Lions, however, enter the game as the Big Ten squad with the toughest and longest current win streak right now, having won 3 in a row, folks. Now, we are expected to see the return of center Adrian Payne. So I'm sure many of you will be glued to your televisions tonight for that. Now, the Michigan Wolverines, they bounce back from their first conference loss with a nearly flawless performance against visiting Nebraska yesterday, notching an easy 79-50 win. A 29-3 first half run gave the Wolverines a 28-point halftime lead, and they never looked back. Zach Irvin, who's also Gary Harris's best friend, he scored a career-high 16 points all in the first half, and Glenn Robinson III broke out of a funk to lead the team with 23 points. Now, Michigan travels to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes this Saturday. In MSU and Illinois women's basketball, they were in action yesterday. Becca Mills and Tori Jankowska each scored 22 points to help the MSU women's basketball team cruise to a 69-53 win at Illinois. The win marks the first time in program history that the Spartans have won their first 5 conference road games. And the 8-2 conference start ties their best ever. They are certainly rolling right now. Now, the Spartans will put that flawless conference road mark to the test on Saturday when they visit Nebraska. Hats off to them. Pistons and Magic, again, it's just terrible basketball being played in the NBA right now, and the Pistons are certainly contributing to that. Florida hasn't treated the Detroit Pistons well. Days after losing to the world champion Heat, the Pistons were beaten by the just terrible Orlando Magic, 112-98, the final of that one. Rookie Victor Oladipo, he scored 20 points off the bench to lead the Magic, who also got 18 points from Glenn Davis. Now, the Pistons had six players in double figures, led by Josh Smith, 25 points and 12 rebounds. Still, the defense didn't show up, folks, and the Magic shot 50% from the field and went 18 for 20 from the free throw line. Detroit is back in action Friday night when they host the Brooklyn Nets. Wings and Panthers, the Detroit Red Wings, they travel to Florida to take on the Panthers. Florida just snapped a three-game losing streak with a 4-1 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday. Now, Detroit has gotten a point in six of its last seven games, going 4-1-2 over that span. Now, Pavel Datsyuk, who has been out with a lower body injury, skated Wednesday and is listed as probable for the matchup tonight. And also some local news. Hats off to the Holt Wrestling team. They are so good each and every year. The fifth-ranked Holt Wrestling team, they added a Division I District Championship trophy last night. Last weekend, they won the CAAC Blue Championship and topped East Lansing 76-6 and blanked Everett 75-0. Holt now advances to the regionals. My goodness, they are good. All right. And also some sad news in the world of sports and in baseball, of course. Former MLB ace Curt Schilling released a statement Wednesday that he has been diagnosed with cancer. Now, Schilling suffered a heart attack in November of 2011, and his wife Shonda was being diagnosed with stage 2 malignant melanoma in 2001. So thoughts and prayers go out to Kirk as he tries to battle this just heinous disease. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527, and share what's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, to wrap up the signing day madness that ensued yesterday, Mark D'Antonio, he held a presser to culminate his signing day, his signees, if you will, yesterday at the Carabel Smith Center in the auditorium there. And he kicked off the presser with a video of each and every recruit that was signed. You got to see some of the highlights and, you know, where they're from and whatnot. It always kicks off every year with the highlight video. And then D'Antonio addressed the media. And, you know, he had some interesting things to say about this highly touted class. You can arguably say this is the best recruiting class that head coach D'Antonio has ever had during his tenure here at Michigan State. And he talked about this incredible group of young men.
With this one in particular, I feel like it's maybe our most solid that we've had in seven or eight years here. And very, very excited about the people that we have coming in. And I think we addressed some issues across the board that we needed to based on graduation. When you look at our recruiting class, we've recruited four linebackers, and all of these guys are very instinctive players, guys that have played multiple positions, tailback. I think three of them have played, all four of them have actually played tailback at one point in time. A couple of them have played in the secondary as well, so they're athletic guys. They're guys that can move, catch the ball, run. They're 220-plus pounds or so. T.J. Harrell's a guy from Tampa, Florida. He's a very highly recruited young man. He's playing in the International Bowl on Friday, along with two of our other signed committed guys. And he's in a very exciting player, highly recruited. You know, certainly we look back in the back here, Chris Fry is on campus right now. He's from Upper Arlington High School and down in Columbus, and a guy who's played corner. He's played a lot of positions for his football team. So very excited about him. Byron Bull is a Spartan, so he understands the nature of what goes on here. And I think it makes a statement when you send your son into a place where your other two sons have already been. I think it makes a statement in terms of how they've been treated and the type of direction that we're going as a football program. So excited to have Byron here. Again, another guy who's played quarterback of multiple positions. And then Deion Drake is a guy that out of Cass Tech, who was injured a lot of the year this year, didn't get back except for the last three games. But Deion's a guy that had a tremendous junior year, explosive. Played running back as well as linebacker, and he's a thumper. And we're looking forward to those four guys coming. Defensive line, you've always got to, I think, address those defensive linemen as you move through the process. And I think we have an extremely strong defensive line class coming. Very exciting. Craig Evans, a guy that number seven on that film was in our camp, very powerful guy. He's got a lot of explosiveness. He's got great change of direction for a big man, about 6'3", 310 or so, and probably will be an immediate contributor in terms of this year's football team. David Beadle's a guy, state championship team in Clarkston, and a very well-coached football team, and a guy with a huge upside, big guy, 6'4", 295, very strong, athletic. And Enoch Smith's another guy that's very disruptive from Mount Carmel High School up in Chicago, coached by Frank Lenti, and just an outstanding program there. And Enoch's a guy that could play defensive end or defensive tackle with the three technique, and very explosive, can really, really run. And a good number of those guys were all three of those inside players were in our camp, so we understand what's a little bit more about them. At the defensive end position, right now we have two guys, and Robert Bowers and Montez Sweat. They're both guys that have great length to them. They'll fill out to be about 240, much like Demetrius Cooper came in last year, and Demetrius now weighing about 235. But very, very athletic guys, can do a lot of things, gives us range. We recruited one defensive end last year, so this is a position of need, and we're looking forward to the guys that are coming to being a part of that. And then in the secondary, Beyonte Copeland is a young man who runs a 48.22 400. He's the state champion down in Ohio. Reminds me a lot of Daquez Denard in a lot of ways, in terms of his demeanor, in terms of what he's done for his football teams. I think he ran for 2,500 yards as a junior, over 4,000 yards in his career there, as well as being a kickoff returner, punt returner, corner. He's played safety, great tackler. Jalen Watts Jackson, again, number one in the film here, just had a dominant camp when he was here. And about 6 foot tall, great jumper, plays on his basketball team, very, very explosive, has great timing, has just a knack for playing the ball in the deep part of the field, and very excited about that as well. When you look at the other two guys back there, really, you look at Monte Nicholson, I feel like he's a dual threat player. I mean, I think he can play either side of the ball. 13-9 high hurdler, second in the state. He's a nationally ranked high hurdler. Big body, very athletic, played in the U.S. All-American game. Just along with, I think, Craig Evans did as well. But very, very good athlete. He's a pass catcher, down the field pass catcher. Would play X for us, big bodied guy on the defensive side of the ball. I think he has the ability to be a tremendous safety, maybe even a corner. He's got length and he can really, really run. Tough, good tackler, and really I feel like can really almost do it all. So we're very excited about him, played in the All-American game as well, and was the number one recruit in the state of Pennsylvania. And Matt Morrissey, who's the son of Jim Morrissey, his former Spartan who played for the Bears in the Super Bowl. Matt is a guy who plays on his basketball team where they were runner-up to state champions, big school division last year. Very explosive, great ball skills, good tackler in the back end of secondary, maybe an outside backer, grow into it, maybe a safety. Right now he'll start a wide receiver. It reminds me a lot of Blair White. He's a quick jumper and extremely disciplined player. So I think that's pretty much the defensive side of our football team. And then when you look over on the offensive side right now, we addressed the running back situation. I think we have two outstanding players in Gerald Holmes, who again reminds me a little bit of T.J. Duckett, and big, powerful guy, 250 pounds, could play a lot of positions, but we recruited him as a tailback, but I've seen him play on defense as well, so he's just a guy that is an outstanding player, football player in general. And Madre London, who's down from Fort Lauderdale, St. Thomas Aquinas, which is plays tremendous competition at the highest level in Florida, and just an all-around great running back. Great hands, very soft hands, elusive, runs with power, and we're very, very excited to get those two guys. Matt Sokol was on campus as a tight end, played quarterback for his high school team, but we found him in camps and in the 7-on-7 tournaments that were around. Outstanding pass catcher, great run after catch, big guy. He'll go about 240 here very, very shortly, so we're very, very excited about him, and he brings an added dimension because I think he understands the offensive concepts relating to football in general. On the offensive line, Brian Allen, another young man who has played in the All-American game, and or one of the All-Star, he was in the All-American game. I guess I'm getting them all confused a little bit, but Craig was in the Orlando game. But Brian, I think, is another guy whose brother plays here, and I think it sends a message based on him following in his brother's footsteps in terms of what's going on within the program, not just from a football perspective, but overall perspective. Tough, very tough individual. I think he's lost once in wrestling. He's 48-0 last year and a state champion. This year maybe he's lost once. I'm sure he'll correct that as the weekends go here in the next couple weekends. I think he's won 42-plus matches this year, 285 pounds. Probably will be an immediate contributor for us. Can play center, can play guard. Toughness, I think, runs in that family, and very, very, very excited about that. Chase Giannakis is an outstanding young man. Lived all over the world, so he's played football for a very, very short time. Big, tall, filling in, plays basketball, athletic, very smart, has toughness, sort of relentless type guy, and he's going to make his presence known as we move through the process as well here. And then Nick Padla is a young man from out here at Berrien Springs, Michigan, who very athletic, really doesn't come off the field for him. Another guy that's going to grow into his body, 6'5", 265, 270 right now, but he's going to be a big, strong guy, and we're going to look forward to him as well. Our punter that was signed, Jake Hartberger, is probably one of the top two punters in the nation, and we're extremely excited to have that situation, much like we had with Mike Sadler, where he can watch probably watch for a year and then take over that punting situation. And we've been dominant on our special teams because of our great punting, whether it's Sadler or Bates or whoever it's been. That's been a big factor in our success here, and we'll look for Jake to continue that. So all in all, I feel like we've had an outstanding recruiting class. There's some other guys that are on the fence here or not yet completely signed without the papers being here, but we're very, very excited about those opportunities as well. I'd like to thank our staff and everybody involved with recruiting in terms of what we've been able to do this year. Just a great job by our staff. You know, recruiting has become about relationships. It's become so accelerated in terms of what's gone on that people are making their decisions faster and faster as you go. Obviously, you have some guys going down the stretch, and that's exciting for all of us, but the majority of people make those decisions earlier in the process, and so it does become about evaluating the player, getting them on campus, having a relationship with them, and establishing that trust relationship with their families as well. And I want to congratulate our staff on the job that they've been able to do. I also want to congratulate specifically Curtis Blackwell, the job that he did this past year, did some of the different things that we tried to do and interact with our players have been, I think, instrumental in just cutting edge in terms of some of the things we've done, especially with our young people. So I'd like to also congratulate him and Simone and our entire recruiting staff as well, Matt Muller as well. Winter conditioning started yesterday, so before I finish up, winter conditioning started on Tuesday. So we were in there at 5:30 in the morning, and it's a chance to reflect and step back and reestablish who we are. I think you have to do that when we've had the success that we've had this past year. You need to restart the engine, so you need to really back it up and find out why were you successful, what have you done, what are you going to do now to remain successful, and we were able to start that the other morning, nice and early, and we'll go again tomorrow morning, so it'll be exciting. In addition, Mark Scarpinato, who's been a player for us these last couple years, has decided to graduate this summer. He's 2 years ahead of time, so he's done an outstanding job in the classroom. He's been accepted to med school, and it's something that that he's looked at and worked for very, very hard. And when you have goals, and whether it's the goals in football or your goals in any other areas of life, and you can accomplish those goals, we want to congratulate him and the job that he's been able to do here. So at this point in time, that's his decision, and I thought it was important that everybody be made aware of that, and we want to congratulate him as a program entirely.
Yes, and you talk about the success of this MSU football program, of course. You know, it's starting with the Big Ten championship win over Ohio State and then culminating in Pasadena, California, with the win over Stanford at the Rose Bowl. And you gotta, you know, the success of this MSU program is something that, you know, no one really expected. Those from the outside, looking from the outside, and no one really expected this season. And I tell you what, it definitely had to make some sort of an impact from a recruiting standpoint to see this team win on the national stage. And D'Antonio also was asked that too. If with winning the Rose Bowl definitely impacted those players in making their decision to come to MSU.
Well, I think most of the recruiting is usually so accelerated now that a lot of it's done, but I think it helped us close. I think it helped us get on the national recruits down the stretch. I think it made a difference, and it ensured what we were doing as a program. It gave people the stamp of approval that, you know, this is what we're doing. This is the right direction to go. We're graduating our players almost at an 80% rate. If those who stay the entire time, our grade point average is up as highest as it's ever been as a team. You know, we've won more games than we've ever won. There's a sign down there that says never forget, which talks about the number of people that have gotten into problems here. Haven't had a guy get in a major problem for 207 days. So that's been a positive for us. So I think everything in this program right now is going in this direction. And that's a positive thing. I think it goes beyond football, though, as well. No, I don't really get nervous because we present the opportunities and the individual, the recruit, or the prospective recruit. He ultimately makes the decision. As I said, you know, we haven't been a football program that have said you need to do this or this. We've just not handled things that way. So we've tried to give people room to experience us and to make a decision where they want to be here or they don't want to be here. And I think that. I think that's what young men have done. So do I get nervous on signing day? No. Do I get disappointed at times? Yeah. Am I thrilled at times? Yeah. But I'm not nervous. I think that whatever's going to happen sometimes, it's going to happen. There's nothing really I'm going to be able to do sometimes. It's pretty far along in the process. We'll do what we can within reason, and we'll try and be very transparent in terms of how we handle ourselves.
Yes, you know what? D'Antonio also very briefly addressed others that were not on the final list when it was handed out to us media members, on the final list of those who will be attending Michigan State in that 2014 recruiting class. And yes, that definitely includes lineman Malik McDowell, who ended the speculation yesterday morning and went against his mother's wishes by announcing that he would play football for Michigan State. Now, his dad was there and did support his decision in that, but what the holdup is that, you know, his mother has not signed the national letter of intent. So, D'Antonio was asked whether or not he feels as though that other players like Malik will eventually sign, and he had this to say.
Yeah, I do. I do expect that, but I think recruiting should be about a celebration and for everybody involved, and I think everybody needs to feel comfortable as they move through the process. But we're excited about those opportunities as well.
So, only time will tell. It's just waiting on mama. Just waiting on mama, folks. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll dive into Michigan and Nebraska. Michigan was just, they were hot last night, folks. And also Michigan State and Penn State, they get it on tonight at the Breslin Center. We'll give you a preview of that as well. Again, if you want to call in and let your voice be heard, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
I think. Come on. Cold, cool, and at a bar. And I'm looking for some action. But like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all...
Check it to record, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words, when you're getting busy. Whoop, it is Hitman.
Oh, man, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Matt, thank you for these throwback grooves that we are currently listening to right now. Whoop, there it is.
Hey, tag team, back again, man.
I love that. I feel like just dancing right now in the studio, right now. We'll just stop the show and just dance real quick. Oh, that's great stuff. Welcome back to the show. I'll tell you what, I'm pretty sure there are many people who were Michigan fans specifically, who were definitely screaming, whoop, there it is last night, because Michigan They had one in just a complete mangling on Nebraska last night. A 79-50 win, guys. I mean, it was one of those nights where everything, and I mean everything, went in. I mean, you have one of those, you have nights like that in basketball, and the Wolverines were on point, to say the least, last night. A 29-3 first half run. That gave the Wolverines a 28-point halftime lead, folks. Oh, they were really, really grooving. They actually shot 62% from the field in the first half, 9 of 17 from three-point range. They finished 14 of 14 also from the free throw line. A perfectly executed game. You couldn't ask for anything much more from this Michigan basketball team last night. They really looked good. And you know what, guys? I want to give some props to John Beilein, because John Beilein, I think, is a guy who is the ultimate optimist. You rarely see John after a game, even after that Indiana loss. He does not down his team. He just stays optimistic. He says, "Hey, we're gonna brush it off. We'll be fine." You know, he does acknowledge the things that went wrong in the game. But I mean, I just think his overall optimistic presence is something really this team has really adopted and taken on. Because if you look at that loss to Indiana, I mean, they acknowledged it, but they came in this game like they had never even come off a loss. It was amazing to see the mindset they had last night. Not to mention, they played as a team. They had 21 assists, folks. 21 assists as a team last night. I mean, it was a flawless performance. And, you know, like I said, Michigan, if they're going to be successful as the season moves on, what they do well and what they've continued to do well is shoot the basketball. That's what they've done well. I mean, again, 62%. It's one of those nights where the basket is just like an ocean. You know what I mean? And that's clearly what happened last night. Wow.
Yeah. Do you guys think that Michigan will be second to any other team in the Big Ten when it comes to matching up with Michigan State? So when you think of maybe the top four or five, when you think of the top four or five teams in the Big Ten, where do you rank those? How does Michigan fit in now? Have they raised in your eyes after their win over Michigan State and whatnot?
I mean, they're definitely – I think Michigan and Michigan State are definitely 1-2 right now in the conference, without a doubt. I mean, Michigan has proven it with the wins they've gotten. Michigan State, I mean, the wins they've gotten without being 100%. I mean, I think, you know, it's pretty cool to say that, because we live in Michigan. We've been following these teams, you know, since we were, you know, came out the womb. We are all from Michigan. And to see Michigan and Michigan State and what they've been able to do game by game by game, I think it's no doubt that they are clearly the two best teams in the Big Ten, without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't see anybody jumping them or being a bigger threat. I think maybe if there was a team in the Big Ten that had a better inside presence, that would be the team that I would pick. But, I mean, all you got to do is look at the standings. And I mean, they're head and shoulders above everybody else. Everybody else is beating up on each other. I mean, Northwestern is in, what, fourth?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. The amount of teams with five losses in the Big Ten is crazy.
Yeah, there's a three-way tie, actually. Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Northwestern tie for fourth. Iowa's third right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then you look at Michigan State, 9-1, 8-1.
Right, so is it a weak Big Ten conference? Do you think that when it comes to bracket busting, do you think they're going to give a lot of Big Ten teams bids?
I think that the reason why you see, I mean, the disparity when you talk about Michigan State and Michigan, I mean, the talent, you know, as far as when I look at Michigan State, experience, the big E word for me. I mean, Michigan State has so much experience, which is why, I mean, they were ranked number one out the gates, you know, starting the season nationally. I'm going to be honest here. I didn't think that Michigan would be this good at this point in the season. Because like I said, I mean, normally when you see a team that, I mean, Michigan shoots all the time. That's what they do. It's not like they have a guy down low. I mean, look at last night. Jordan Morgan, I believe, finished with 0 points. He had a donut last night. Michigan shoots constantly, and I thought that would be their Achilles heel because, I mean, and they do it so well consistently, which I didn't think they would do. And another thing is, looking at how they started the season, they didn't start the season great. They had a few losses here and there, and their defense was terrible at the start of the season. They have found a way to shoot consistently well, and have found a way to play relatively decent defense down the stretch, especially when the Big Ten season has started. So if you would have told me that Michigan would be sitting atop the Big Ten Conference, I would have said you're crazy. They will be in the mix with Wisconsin, Ohio State, Iowa. They would not be, you know, in the level that Michigan State is right now. Now, granted, I still think that Michigan State, if fully healthy, would have beat Michigan. That's another story, though. We could sit here and say woulda, coulda, shoulda all day, but the proof is in the pudding right now. So,
yeah. Well, I just want to like break this down for you guys with the conference standings right now, because outside of a team that has 9 losses, which there are 9 loss teams that make the tournament, but there aren't many. Outside of a team like Purdue, who's 14-9, you've got about 8 to 9 teams that legitimately could make the Big Ten tournament. You've got Minnesota 15-8, Indiana 14-8, but these are teams that have lost 4 or 5 games in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Northwestern 12-11, they're still middle of the Big Ten. They're above Indiana and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Ohio State 18-5, Wisconsin 18. So there are teams in the Big Ten that have lost games, but I think this is probably one of the better Big Ten years I've seen. And
I will say that last year for me, looking at last year the Big Ten. The Big Ten was head above heels, better than any. I mean, it was so entertaining.
Ohio State was so much better.
Oh, Ohio State. Yeah. I mean, last year's Big Ten season for me had to be, for me personally, the most enjoyable time I've had watching college basketball. I mean, you saw so many games that went down to the wire and went to overtime. Trey Burke was going off. Michigan State had a great team. Again, you talk about Ohio State, Aaron Kraft, and I'm blanking on his name.
Deshaun Thomas.
Unbelievable. Victor Oladipo at Indiana. I mean, there were stars everywhere last year. And, of course, you know, have now made the leap to the NBA, a few of them now. What is Thomas doing now? Is he in the D-League or something? What is he doing now?
I think he might be in the D-League.
I'm going to have to Google
that. Tough to get playing time with the Spurs, though.
Yeah, that's very, very, very true. Yeah. But, yeah, because I haven't seen him at all. I mean, in NBA, right. But, I mean, there were so many stars, and it was so many teams beating up on each other. This year you have that as well. I mean, I just think that speaks to the Big Ten Conference in general. I still think the Big Ten is the best college basketball league in the nation, but I don't think it's as good as last year.
Yeah, even Penn State, 3 straight wins.
Yeah.
The only literally bottom-heavy team is Illinois, who's lost, like, 8 straight.
Yeah,
but
they're struggling.
Other than that, every team's pretty much in it right now.
See, and that's the thing. I think last year
every single team was
more top heavy because you had Indiana, who was incredible. That team was great last year. You know, they kind of fell apart in the tournament, but they were like during the regular season they were, you know, the top dog. And you have teams like them and Ohio State kind of coming back to earth a little bit this year, and then you have improvements at places like Penn State, like Northwestern. So it's just kind of a big jam in the middle. And I think it's shocking that Michigan and Michigan State only have 1 loss at this point.
Mm-hmm. It is.
They're all just beating up on each other. And I think as far as the best conference in basketball, the Big 12 is right there too, because they have a lot. They have a lot of really good teams.
Though.
But there's just no nights off in the Big 10 this year.
None at all.
You can't chalk up an easy W anywhere, even at home.
What do you guys think about the Pac with Arizona and their performance so far?
Oh, Arizona's been great. But, yeah, I mean,
name another good team. I mean,
hats off to Syracuse. Syracuse right now has looked really good. C.J. Fair, he is a man amongst boys right now. But, yeah, I mean, you look at those teams like Wichita State. I think I'm still not sold on Wichita State. I still think they need to play some more formidable opponents, I think.
Right.
But, you know, overall, man, it's entertaining to watch. But I still would go with the Big Ten as far as the toughest conference in the nation. I still, like you said, you got these teams left and right beating up on each other. And like you said, I mean, there's no days off. Even though Penn State is 3-6, don't let that record fool you at all. I mean, again, they just come off, I mean, three straight now. They knocked off Ohio State, Nebraska. I mean, this is going to be a good game tonight. I think it'll be a good game, but I do think MSU down the stretch can pull away a little bit, and we'll cushion that score a little bit, I think. I think MSU pulls it out.
I have to agree, and I guess the big thing about the Big Ten, just one more note, it's just every team has quality guards.
Right.
There's not a ton of, you know, really big-time big men, but every team has good guard play, and that can win you a lot of games regardless of what venue you're at. I mean, you saw, you know, Penn State goes to Ohio State and wins. Northwestern beats Wisconsin at Wisconsin by almost 10 points. It's just that stuff doesn't happen normally, but every team is so competitive. It's fun to watch.
It is definitely fun to watch, and that is a great point. I mean, yeah, just about every team you look at in the Big Ten, I mean, they have if it's not a premier guard, it's a really, really good guard, you know what I mean, which is so valuable in college hoops. Of course, the big man. I think the big man, just in basketball in general, the value of a big man, it's hard to find a really, really good big man nowadays in today's basketball. But there are so many good guards, and the Big Ten has plenty of them. Yogi Ferrell surprised me the other day.
He's incredible.
I mean, he just went off. He just went crazy, you know. And looking at – you talk about last year's Indiana team. We had Oladipo. I forgot about Zeller down low. Zeller was very, very good for that team last year. Oh, yeah, I'm just having flashbacks now how good Indiana was last year. That was a – oh, man, great, great teams. But yeah, all right, so now tonight, if you look at Penn State, MSU, again, Penn State has won three straight, Nebraska, OSU, and Purdue. Now, looking at this game, guys, Penn State has had trouble scoring from beyond the arc. When you're playing a great defensive team like Michigan State, they do a great job in general, whether it's defending behind the arc or the mid-range or down low. Now, you got Adrian Payne now. I think that's really going to frustrate Penn State tonight. They shoot 29% as a team from behind the arc, 10th in the league, so it's not too great. You won't see Penn State draining threes left and right tonight, I don't think. They are somewhat better inside from the mid-range game, 50% in the conference right now. But that does play into MSU's defensive strengths because we all know MSU does a great job at defending the mid-range game. What I will be looking at tonight, how Adrian Payne comes back from that injury. I think he can have a big night inside as far as rebounds go because Penn State does not do a good job at rebounding, period. They are very, very, very vulnerable on the glass. They are below the league average at both ends when it comes to offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. That's what I'm really going to be homing in. I think Adrian Payne, I hope we have a healthy Adrian Payne and he looks good out there. I'm also going to be looking at Keith Appling to see because we know he's been a battered man as well. I'll be interested to see how he comes out the gates as well. So.
Yeah, and even if Payne isn't 100%, and I don't think he will be, I don't think he'll be close to that. I mean, when you have a sprained foot, it's going to take a while to get your conditioning back, especially for a big man like Payne. What I'm looking for most importantly is just to see how much he opens things up for other guys. Because, I mean, we saw the Georgetown game where they go 9 for 29 from 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a big man who defenses have to take into account, you're going to get better looks from beyond the arc. And I'm hoping that, you know, him being back in the lineup kind of opens things up for everybody else. So it's not just taking contested three after contested three
right. Every
single possession. I'd like to see some open looks because I think, you know, they're due for a game where they hit just about everything.
Yeah.
Maybe it's tonight. Who knows?
Possibly. Alex?
Yeah. I think if Payne wasn't playing, I would maybe think about it because I love hot teams, especially in the tournament. But hot teams during the year are just as effective. And Penn State, from that win over Ohio State, granted Ohio State, but it was a good win over Ohio State. They've won their last two after that. I still think Michigan State will pull it out, though. I think the presence of Payne for me, as much as the guard play is huge, I think the presence of Payne coming back will be a big component. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm MSU for the win for me.
Yeah, I think so too. Like you said, with Payne coming back, he does open a lot of things for other players because we saw in that Georgetown game. I mean, they were just jacking up threes left and right, and you had Gary Harris trying to be Superman and put on the cape and just, you know, which he did for a minute. I mean, he had some great shots. You know, but there was no penetration going on at all from any guards except Gary Harris. And you know, I definitely see. I think Adrian Payne will get some buckets down low. And they will hone in on him, and we'll see who else steps up other than Gary Harris because I've been looking for that for these past few games, and it simply has not happened. So it's going to be a good one. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on tonight's game, again, Michigan State and Penn State, at the Breslin Center, a 9 p.m. tip time, call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we will talk a little Olympics, and also it's Thursday, Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that tonight, Current Sports TV hits the air. Tonight at 10 p.m. on WKRTV, I will dive into the sport of curling. Yes, curling, folks. I hit the ice with the president of the Lansing Curling Club, Mark McElwee, as he taught me everything about the sport. It was a great sit-down last night, and you'll get to see him and I hit the ice and learn a little bit about a sport you'll be seeing in the Olympics as the Olympics start tomorrow, folks. Yes, in Sochi, Russia. I'm sure many of you cannot wait for that. The Olympics is always a great time. I believe, what is it, 2 weeks, guys, I think it lasts? About 2 weeks. And I'm a little, it's bittersweet for me because I love SNL, and SNL won't be back until after the Olympics. So, hey. And Seth, and how about Seth Meyers, man? He'll be taking over Jimmy Fallon's spot now in late night. So that'll be interesting. I think that premieres February 24th, I believe. So there you have that. But yes, the Olympics start tomorrow, folks. I can't wait for it. Before we get to that, though, it's Thursday, Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at sports history, what took place in sports history on this Thursday. So, Matt, what do we have for this February 6th?
We have quite a bit, Al. We're going to start out, we're going to go back to 1921. The New York Yankees issue a press release to announce the purchase of 10 acres of property in the West Bronx. That land was later used for Yankee Stadium 1. Now you have to refer to it as one, because they just built the new one, Yankee Stadium 2, the
right.
Sequel, Junior, whatever you want to call it.
Right, right.
So that was the original Yankee Stadium. All right, 1932, speaking of the Olympics, dog sled racing happened for the first and only time at the Olympics in Lake Placid, New York.
I wish they'd bring that back.
Apparently it was not a big hit.
Not a big hit, but I would just like to see that. I'm going to have to YouTube that. Dog sled racing.
They
pull humans?
I would assume.
Really?
I would hope. Cool. Otherwise, it'd be pretty impressive if they were just going willy-nilly and they, you know,
those are
knew
some
where the finish
dogs,
line
man.
Put some treats at the finish line and
right.
Let them go. Number three here, we have 1967.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali scores a technical knockout over Ernie Terrell in 15 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title. We actually have a quick clip of that one.
As you can see, an overwhelming, unanimous decision
the
undisputed for the champion
of the world, Muhammad Ali.
You gotta love that one because Howard Cosell just talks over the ring.
You know, when it's starting, I'm like, okay, who's talking here? Ali,
Cosell,
the greatest, though.
He didn't care. He was just gonna talk. Back to the list. 1970, the NBA expands to 18 teams for the 1970 and 71 season. The new teams added were Buffalo, Cleveland, Houston, and Portland.
Really?
Tough break for Buffalo. Couldn't hang on to that NBA franchise.
No.
Number five, Brett Hull becomes the first son of a 50-goal scorer to score 50 himself.
Right wing to Oates. Oates gives it in front to Hull. A shoot. He scores! Brett Hull, number 50. He scores from the slot, and Hull has number 50. He becomes only the fifth player in NHL history to score.
Pretty cool. Bobby Hull is his father, right?
Yeah. Exactly. He scored 50.
Look at that. I'm 50. Busting out some hockey knowledge.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pull that one out.
Impressive,
yeah.
Impressive.
Of course, he did it against the Red Wings.
Thanks
a lot, Brett.
Yeah.
Number six here, we have Daryl Strawberry gets suspended for baseball for 60 days.
60 days. What did he do?
60 days. He had some personal issues. We'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
But maybe in his time off, he was able to work on a follow-up to this gem.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Daryl. I'm a baseball player. One thing I forgot to say, when I'm on the field, I'm on top of the world. I get screams from all the girls. Everybody in the stadium screams for me. Strike one, strike two, but no strike three. When I'm running, all the players make space.
I mean, let's hope.
That's hilarious.
Let's hope he was working on a follow-up, like the yet-to-be-released follow-up to Chocolate Strawberry.
Baseball player, Saya. Oh, man, that's great.
Got one more thing to say.
That is great.
Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry. Whoa. Any more?
I got one more.
One more.
Back in 2005, the New England Patriots defeated the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember that Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb Super Bowl? It was their third win in 4 years and their second consecutive Super Bowl win.
Throw, looks, fires left, intercepted, Rodney Harrison, and the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back, 3 out of 4, world championships.
Rodney Harrison made that play, but again, he couldn't make it a few years later when they threw a Hail Mary to David Tyree.
Yep, remember that.
I'm glad about that. I'm not a big fan of Rodney Harrison.
No, I'm not. I'm not either. I'm not a big. Are you a big Rodney Harrison fan, Alex?
I don't know.
He's okay. I'm not.
I feel
a
like talking trash at the analyst desk is like.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
You're
dude.
Above that, man.
Right, right. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Wow, a lot happened today, man.
Oh yeah, busy day.
I love that Daryl Strawberry song.
Yeah, that's great.
I gotta put that on my iTunes. That is just.
I'm gonna keep trying to work it into the show as
yes,
often as possible.
As often as possible. That's gonna become
fantastic
our theme.
Fantastic stuff.
I'm gonna
I hope
start
it does.
The show every show with that. Oh,
I'm
that's
in.
Good stuff. So, and guys, you know T.O. T.O. is such a, you know, T.O. was great. Let's be honest here. T.O. was great when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, look at his career with the 49ers. I mean, he was such an athletic, just freakish type of wide receiver. Where would you put T.O. in your top 10 wide receivers of all time?
Tough. I don't know. I mean, you've got Irvin in there. I would.
Rice is number one for
Rice,
me, of course.
Yeah.
Johnson Megatron is up there, of
yeah.
course. I think he works his way in my
into,
top
into
10.
Into a top 10. Yeah. I think he's definitely up there. There's a lot of competition because he also has his personality involved, which for me is like a
but
kind of
there's so many receivers that do though, you know.
Right.
Ocho Cinco was like that. I mean, there's a lot of receivers that just
but
have.
But some people have not gone as above and beyond as him in some off the field circumstances.
Yeah.
But no, yeah.
I loved his TD celebrations.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great. I don't know. Who else would you put in your top 10?
Well, like I said, I mean, you got to have the essential guys. I mean, Rice for me. Growing up, I was a huge Jerry Rice fan. I mean, I think he's arguably in my top football players of all time. I mean, Jerry was so good. So Jerry Rice for me is number one. It probably will always be number one, no matter how great Megatron is. I mean, I just love Jerry Rice, but Megatron has to make that list as well because hey, he broke Jerry Rice's single season receiving record, which is that's insane in the membrane. But you know, you got to put the essentials in
there. Tim Brown?
Possibly.
If I'm going to take outspoken wide receivers, I'm going to take Randy Moss over Terrell
Randy
Owens
Moss
every
is there.
Day of the week.
Yeah.
Chris Carter.
You got to put Chris Carter in there. But yeah, I mean those guys. I think T.O. I think he makes the list in my the 6 through 10 list. He makes the 6 through 10, not top five, but
he's definitely fringe.
Yeah, he's fringe. Yeah, he might be 9, 8, 9.
Gotta
win
a Super Bowl though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But there's the Donovan McNabb case. That's the argument with that.
Yeah, that's the case with. I mean, but then if you bring up the ring, you got to talk about Dan Marino when you talk about quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, I think that the whole you got to have a championship to be considered one of the greats or the top five or top 10. I don't know. I take that with a grain of salt, guys. I don't know because you hear it all the time in sports. Oh, if he didn't have a ring, but he was still great. I don't know. I don't put too much weight on rings because if you look at basketball. For me, who I think was such an unbelievable forward, arguably the greatest forward of all time, we could debate that all day too. But Charles Barkley was so good, guys, and he's in my top 10 list. He's another guy that didn't have a ring. You know, there's so many greats that didn't have rings. Yeah. I don't know. I take that with a grain of salt.
He's for sure in my Fab Five list, but maybe top 10.
I forgot about the Fab Five. Does that still exist?
Fab Five? I don't think so.
Interesting stuff. But yeah, Michael Irvin too. He definitely makes my list too. But all right, guys. Well, good stuff. A lot happened on this Thursday. All right, guys. Well, the Olympics. They start tomorrow. So many people will be flocking to their televisions to watch it. But you know what? It's kind of a mixed reaction because, when I was reading a few articles as on the eve of the Olympics and, there are some people that are really gung-ho and cannot wait to watch the Olympics. Then there's people out there just like, I don't care for it. The Winter Olympics, I could care less. But, guys, I love watching bobsledding. I don't know. It's something about it. I can't wait. The Jamaican bobsled team, they are revving up. Actually, on ESPN, they have the Jamaican bobsled team. They finally are training, which is – it's a day before the Olympics, and you're – I don't know. I don't get that at all. But
it's a bobsledding, statement? Maybe it's a statement?
Maybe they're that confident. Lolo Jones, I believe – is a part of the American team, right? And she's taking a lot of heat because of that. And people feel as though she's kind of just a commodity, if you will, and is just there because of the name recognition. But she's really putting a lot of work in this, and I'm interested to see how this team performs with her on the team. I think Lola Jones gets kind of labeled. It's really unfair, I think, because if looking at the documentary that HBO did, she puts in a lot of work when it comes to bobsledding, but people still don't respect her for it, and she takes a lot of flack for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand other, maybe passed over bobsled candidates being a little bitter.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
And she has quotes that are like, people hate me because I'm popular.
Right.
And it's like
she's a little cocky with it.
Yeah.
She's a little cocky.
Especially
with
for
it.
Someone who, you know, perform so poorly at the Summer Olympics, it seems like you would kind of be focused on performing this time. As far as sports, I love all the sliding sports. You said bobsled, luge, skeleton. It's all awesome.
Skeleton.
Oh, yeah. Face first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Off call. Okay. Off the hill.
No.
Off the, oh, downhill.
Down the sliding. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. It's there. I mean, it's one of those things that it's kind of like gymnastics for me, where when the Olympics come around, it's like, oh, yeah, this is like a huge worldwide thing. And it's you almost forget about it in the years between Olympic Games. But when it comes on, it's like always on. It's incredibly fun to watch.
Right.
I enjoy all the sliding sports. Olympic hockey is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Hockey is great.
I mean,
do you guys remember the U.S. and Canada facing off 4 years ago? I mean, that match was I don't watch hockey, but I watched that entire match. It was I can't wait for
I can't wait to watch
the match.
Yeah, Olympic hockey is fantastic.
Yeah.
The ski jump, which is the one where they do go over the huge hill to take off. That's going to be fun to watch. And you got to love curling.
Gotta love curling. I can't wait for curling. You know, I tried my hand at it.
Now
it's
that you're
a
an
fun
expert.
Sport. I'm an expert, man. Yeah. Olympic team, they need to bring Al Martin on that team. I would perform exceptionally well, okay?
I feel like if you tried out, you could maybe have a shot in 4 years.
I can make it, man. You get to see me on TV tonight at 10 p.m. give my hand at it. It's pretty fun. It's a fun sport. I may have found a new hobby. I don't know. But also, guys, I have to admit this. I like watching the ice skating, too. Is that feminine?
Oh, no.
That's not feminine. I love watching the ice skating. And, you know, I get kind of nervous because, you know, you see these individuals who put in so much effort in trying to get the routines down. And I get nervous when I see one of them fall because it's like, that's it. Medal out the door. You just fell.
Right. There goes 3 years.
There it goes. And they put so much time and energy into it. And I get nervous watching it, guys. I get a little nervous watching ice figure skating. And I can't wait to see, some of the competitors this year. And we go back to the whole, you guys remember the whole Tonya Harding incident? I think that incident, which happened at Cobo Hall in Detroit, that kind of put figure skating on the map, believe it or not. Because they had a whole documentary, there was a great 30 for 30 that was done on it. And, you know, Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, that whole thing really, you know, made people flock to televisions to watch it and is really, you know, give credit to the popularity of where it is now. So definitely looking forward to that. What are you looking forward to, Alex?
Yeah, for luge, the United States has never placed higher than fourth. They've never qualified. They've never been on the podium. So I'm going to be trying to look at that since it's one of the first events. But Shawny Davis, this guy's going for records. I know the Sean White height was great coming up to it and the injury. But those two guys for me are the standouts from what I've read for people that are there covering it. Curling, like you said, I'm excited to see the current sports TV thing with that.
It seems like
when you compare it to other sports, I feel like there are many other sports where you have to have a lot of lower body training. You need a lot of – but for curling, I feel like it's more of an art compared to more physically gifted sports.
Right, exactly. I was talking to Mark yesterday about it, and, you know, the oldest curler that, you know, that he's trained or worked with is like 87 years old. So it's not so much physicality. It's more so a lot of physics comes into play when you talk about curling. The way you release it, the angle you release it. Sometimes in an environment like, you know, certain environments, the temperature of the ice affects how far a stone, you know, goes down, and then, you know, the sweeping technique to change direction. Physics definitely it's not more so a physicality sport. You don't have to be the buffest guy or the most athletic guy to play it, but, you know, the mind comes into play a lot.
Those who play musical instruments, they're used to fast fingers, fast hands, maybe when you're shuffling. So who knows?
There you go. I look forward to it. It's going to be great. Again, the Olympics start tomorrow, folks. Can't wait for that. All right. Well, we are out of time, ladies and gents. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic day, and be easy, people.